Welcome to Thoroughly Equipped. Today we're going to focus on the question, is it possible to have the truth and to misuse it? As we will see, Jonah, the answer is yes. Jonah has actually or will actually say to God that I know you to be as you have revealed yourself to me through the scriptures. And it's because of that that I disobeyed you and ran the other way.
This is Thoroughly Equipped, Drawing Water from the Wells of Salvation, a weekly study of the Bible with Pastor Wojtek from Rehoboth Reformed Church in La Habra. During the next 30 minutes, we'll bring you solid, in-depth biblical teaching from Scripture and provide you training in how you can get the most from personal and family Bible study. We invite you to get a copy of today's teaching outline by logging on to tefaith.org. TEFaith is short for Thoroughly Equipped Faith. Again, that's tefaith.org. Now here's Pastor Mike.
Again, welcome to Thoroughly Equipped. Today we are focusing in on Jonah chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to verse 1. Actually, David, why don't you go ahead and begin reading? Oh, by the way, David, my son, is here in the studio with me. Welcome. And go ahead and start back in chapter 3, in the last verse of chapter 3, and read through verse 6 of Jonah chapter 4.
Okay. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was this not my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled unto Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest of evil. Therefore, Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, or it is better for me to die than to live. Then the Lord said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city, and sat on the east side of the city, and there made a booth, and sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd, or a kikayon, and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd.
Very good. Thank you, David. So we come to this fourth chapter, and in some ways, chapter 4 is going back to chapter 2. Remember, as we've been looking at chapter 3 of Jonah, and we did a compare and contrast of chapter 1, and Jonah learns his lesson.
Yeah.
In chapter 2 is God's deliverance of Jonah, God's salvation, if you will, saving of Jonah. But yet now we're in chapter 4, and it seems like Jonah is back to the beginning. And he actually goes back to his sin that we read in the first few verses of chapter 1. And God again confronts Jonah and deals with him in his sin. So, again, remember we said, what did we say that the theme of the book of Jonah is?
Salvation is of the Lord.
That's right. And in particular, we focused on the compassion and mercy of God. And we saw that with Nineveh in chapter 3.
Yeah.
With those who don't deserve it, it's mercy, right? And now, again, God is dealing with his covenant servant, with his prophet, who is, and he still has Ra'ah. Now, as a matter of fact, he's now the one with the evil. He's now the one with the trouble, which is what that Hebrew word means or can be translated. So we see here Jonah's response to God's mercy. And what is it? What does Jonah say the reason for him responding to God's mercy as he did in chapter 1, according to our text?
Well, his response in chapter 1, the reason why he did it is because he knew who God was, that he was a gracious and merciful God. He did not want God to show mercy to his enemies.
Okay, to his enemies. My enemies should be God's enemies.
That's basically the thinking of Jonah.
Which is the opposite, right? God's enemies should be our enemies, not the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay. And so Jonah, one of the things that's fascinating is that the statement of Jonah in verse 2, he says, "For I fled because I knew that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in chesed, in loving kindness, one who relents from doing ra'ah, doing harm, or doing a calamity." And where did Jonah get that? It sounds like he's quoting something almost. Did he make it up? Or did he find that somewhere? Where did he learn? He says, "I knew this. I know this."
Yeah, he knew it because he was very familiar with the law and the prophets. And I think also with a little bit of the Psalms as well. Because the statement, "slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness," that phrase is used in Psalm 103 in speaking of the mercy of God. So when I hear that, when I hear Jonah say it, I think Psalm 103.
Good. Well, see, I think of Exodus chapter 34. When God, remember Moses asked God to reveal himself to him? And the Lord passed before him, and we read in 34, verse 6, "The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but by no means clearing the guilty.'" And so a lot of those phrases that Jonah quotes back to God come from Exodus chapter 34, God's own self-revelation to Moses and to Israel and to the people of God. And then it's again recorded again and again, including in the Psalms, mm-hmm. like you said.
Yeah.
And so Jonah's faith is informed by the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But the crazy thing is that Jonah's response to the truth of God's revelation of himself was to run the other way.
Yeah, I know. Sad, isn't it?
And the question that I ask myself as I think about that is how often is that true of me?
Mm.
How often have I taken the knowledge of what God has revealed to me in the Word of God through the Holy Spirit, and I have used that as a tool to offend God,
mm-hmm.
to sin against God, to rebel against God. And I'd hate to say that it's happened far too often than I would want to admit. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, what Jonah is saying here is that God is good, and so I am angry. The text goes on to say what? It says in verse 1, "And it displeased Jonah exceedingly," or his ra'ah was great, and he is hot, right? Mm-hmm. That anger, we talked about that in our Hebrew class.
Yeah.
And he says that, "I understand that you don't like to do ra'ah, you don't like to do harm." There's another use of it there. And so he's angry, he's hot. And then God responds to his anger by showing mercy. How does he show mercy as recorded in our text?
Well, for one, he responds back to Jonah by saying, "Do you well to be angry?"
Okay.
He basically counseling him and saying, "Is it right for you to be angry? Is it right for you to do this?" And also later in verse 6, he creates this, he prepares this plant to be a shade over Jonah, over his head, even though he already has a booth, apparently, but he also has this plant that provides even more shade, I guess.
Good. Okay, so you're racing ahead, and I raced ahead as well. So let's back up for a minute. Hold that for a minute, and we'll come back to that. What I skipped over was verse 3, and that was, not only does Jonah say to God, "I understand who you are, that you're good, and so therefore I'm mad," but furthermore, "I can't take it anymore. It would be better for me to die than to look upon your mercy to undeserved sinners."
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that kind of talk? If I said that to you, I'd rather die than to see sinners be saved by Jesus Christ?
Well, my first response is that, so you don't want to be saved yourself?
Oh, that's very good. Very good. Okay. That's a point, but on another level, think of it this way, is that I'm being selfish in being angry in the first place.
Yeah.
And so really the question is, why are you angry?
Mm-hmm. And that's what God asked Jonah.
Exactly. And so is it right for you to be angry? In some sense, it's a rhetorical question because the answer is
no.
That's right. And so, Jonah, you are in sin, and so therefore God shows mercy to Jonah by confronting him once again in his sin. Mm-hmm. This particular confrontation is not the first time we find that recorded in the Bible. We understand that God confronted Adam and Eve in the garden, and even more so, Cain. When God confronted Cain, he did so, as recorded in chapter 4 of Genesis, before he sins against his brother, as well as after, and before he actually sinned, when he was already upset, God came to Cain, and we read in chapter 4, verse 6, "Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." And so God showed compassion on Cain in confronting him in his sin that was only in his heart, and yeah, it was being seen outwardly, but it wasn't acted out yet. And so God showed compassion on Cain, and Cain's response was to go out and kill his brother, and then God had to confront him again. And we'll see in this account that God confronts him again, just like Cain. And so, in some ways, chapter 4 of Jonah reflects Genesis chapter 4. God showing compassion to Jonah by confronting him in his sin. Now, we talked about this before in the last program about the message of Jonah. It was basically five words: in 40 days, the Nineveh will be overthrown. And remember, what did we come to the conclusion about the use of a message of judgment? Is it always bad?
No. And the reason why is because just simply tell the message that judgment is coming is an act of mercy, because then you know that something is going to come.
And you have an opportunity to repent.
Exactly.
And so is the same thing happening here with God showing Jonah that same kind of love, saying, Jonah, you are in sin and you need to repent.
Okay.
Now, he doesn't say that explicitly, but it's there, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's confronting. So is it good when a brother or a sister comes to us and says to you, for example, what you're thinking or what you're saying is not right?
Period.
Is that what is our reaction in our pride? Our reaction is what?
How dare you?
Okay.
Yeah.
And what should our reaction be?
I need to repent. Yeah. Thanks for letting me know.
Okay, thank you, rather than shut up. Or I don't want to hear that, right?
Yeah.
The amazing thing for Jonah is, according to verse 4, God confronts him, and what does Jonah do? He just walks away. And he will do, he walks away. I don't know about you, but to me, that's quite arrogant and sinful right there. He says, and Jonah went out of the city and he sat down. And so he goes about now in response to God's gracious confrontation, and he goes outside the city and he prepares a relief for himself. He builds that booth, as you said. And so Jonah is in some ways in that same predicament that he was in chapter 1. As well. He's still needing to be dealt with.
Yeah.
Okay. So how does God, as you were saying, how does God deal with Jonah in verse 6?
He basically points a plant to grow up over him so that there's shade for him.
Okay. So God's response to Jonah is to show mercy
and compassion.
And compassion upon Jonah's affliction. Now, in particular, it's protecting him against the heat, physical heat.
Yeah.
But in a sense, it's also referring to this heat. It says that Jonah, in verse 1, he's became angry, and the word anger and heat kind of go together in the Hebrew. And so, in a sense, God is putting the fire out and dealing with Jonah's problem by showing him compassion. Now, remember, God's compassion to Jonah in chapter 1 was by bringing a great fish. It says that God appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. And that same word, appointed, is here in verse 6. Mm-hmm. And God appointed a plant and made it come over Jonah that it might be a shade for his head. I like that verb right there. To deliver him from his misery, from his ra'ah. And so Jonah has trouble, and God delivers him from his trouble by appointing a plant. In chapter 1, it was a great fish. Now it's a little bitty plant, a small plant that grows up very fast. And so we see here in pictorial form, this plant is Jonah's deliverance. Yeah, you have that a point?
I wanted to ask the question, how are we like Jonah? And more specifically, how are we like Jonah in the sense that we know about God, we know who he is, and we purposely go the other direction. We purposely don't want anything to do with him.
What is the reason? Why do we do that?
Why are we like that?
Why are we like, well, I think number one is because our sinful nature or sin in our members is such that we're very self-centered. We want things our way. Mm-hmm. And part of being a believer in Christ, to be a believer is the idea of Jesus is Lord. Mm-hmm. And that means that it's his will, not my will. We are taught in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so there's this constant struggle, I think, that of our own flesh, if you will, desiring to be in charge and wanting our way, mm-hmm. rather than saying, thy will be done. Mm-hmm. And so I think Jonah is communicating. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in the next program as we wrap up this book. But I think that that's part of the problem. That's an ongoing struggle for a believer, and it is one of the great sins of the unbeliever that needs to be repented of for both people, that Jesus is Lord. That is not just a profession of faith at one point in time.
It's reality.
It's reality. It's a day-by-day commitment. Well, before we wrap up, I wanted to cover a couple opportunities that we have that we would like to present to you, the listening audience. And number one is that we have decided to begin to record this program with a studio audience, and we would like to invite you to attend. We will be adding also another part to the show, and that is an audience question and answer time. Since we have you in the audience, that's the thought. So we're going to be recording this program plus adding that other portion. And so our tentative start date, we're targeting Friday, August 23rd at 7 p.m. at Rehoboth Reformed Church, the church building. And the building is at 501 South Idaho Street, Suite 120 in La Habra, California. And so if you are interested in joining a studio audience and even being able to ask questions and be involved in that way, you can give us a call at the church number, which will be up in a minute, and or you can send us an email. Come to our website and email us for more information. So we are encouraging you to come to that. The other thing, another opportunity, is I'm going to be starting a biblical Hebrew course. I've taught it many times in two different seminaries, and I'm going to begin it again in August, and the start date is August 27th. That's a Tuesday night at 7 p.m. at the church. If you are at all interested in wanting to learn Hebrew to be able to read the Old Testament, again, call or write, and we'll give you more information about that. So, avail yourself of that opportunity. Call, and we will love to answer your questions. If you have any, by the way, also, if you have any questions about what we're covering in the program, please feel free to call us or write to us. Thank you very much for listening, and may God richly bless you.
And that is our study today in the Word of God here on Thoroughly Equipped with Pastor Mike Wojtek from Rehoboth Reformed Church in La Habra. Along with his son David, Pastor Mike will be back in just a moment with a final thought for the week ahead. First, though, here's a reminder that you can download and print the lesson outline for each week starting on Wednesday by logging on to tefaith.org. That's tefaith.org. Follow along with the outline and keep it in a binder for future reference and study. Also, if you'd like to stay up to date on Thoroughly Equipped events, sign up for our periodic email newsletter, Wells of Salvation. You'll get articles, resource information, a note from Pastor Mike, information about Rehoboth Reformed Church in La Habra, including our address and service times, and news about any upcoming events. It's very informative. To get our email newsletter, just log on to tefaith.org. That's tefaith.org. Or call us at 626-820-9390. That's 626-820-9390. And we thank the members and friends of Rehoboth Reformed Church for their sacrificial giving in order to make this program possible. If you would like to join them in providing this blessing for others by supporting this Bible teaching program, visit our website. Lastly, we invite you to join us for worship and even more study of God's Word every Sunday morning at Rehoboth Reformed Church, located at 501 South Idaho Street, Suite 120 in La Habra, California. For more information or directions, visit our website, tefaith.org, or call us at 626-820-9390. That's 626-820-9390. Now, with a final thought for the week, here's Pastor Mike.
So as we began the program with the question of, am I consistent in what I believe? Does what I believe reflect in my life? We've seen through Jonah's life that he had great understanding of God and what God has revealed of himself in the Bible. And yet his life, again and again, reflects just the opposite, rebellion. He, in the end, at least the end of this portion, he walks away from God and attempts to meet his own need. He dishonors God and, again, is falling back into idolatry. The question for you today is in what ways do I emulate Jonah? In what ways am I aware of that emulation, and how do I turn from that? Do I hate this response to truth, a sinful response, and do I turn from it and embrace Jesus Christ, embrace the truth? My prayer for you today is that this truth, the truth of God's Word, impacts your life in such a way that it's lived out, and others, when they see your life, they see Jesus. And so let's pray. Father in heaven, we do come before you and ask, O Lord, for your grace and your mercy and your help in time of need, that we may be able to walk consistently with the truth that you reveal to us in your Word and by your Spirit. We ask for your grace and the blessing and the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we may honor and glorify you. And we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today here on Thoroughly Equipped, Drawing Water from the Wells of Salvation, a weekly verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter study of the Bible with Pastor Michael Wojtek from Rehoboth Reformed Church in La Habra, along with his son David. Next week, we'll continue looking at the Word of God. We hope you'll join us. In the meantime, you can learn more about Thoroughly Equipped by logging on to our website, tefaith.org. And if you'd like to write a note to Pastor Mike, you can email it to pastor@tefaith.org. That's pastor@tefaith.org. Remember, God is your salvation. You can trust Him and not be afraid. The Lord is your strength and your song.